Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Welcome to another episode of the We Are Women podcast. My name is Janine Vosper and I am your host and interviewer. And with me today, I have Louise Geary. Now, Louise is an experienced facilitator, speaker and trainer. She runs classes, workshops and works privately with women and men. Remind me to ask you about the men part in a little bit, okay? Who are ready to step up in their business and their personal lives. Now, a lot of people say that in their introductions, but this is really different than a lot of things that you've heard before. So through powerful and effective practices of awareness around your personal blocks, Louise creates individual, tailored for you programs that help you recognize your self-worth, build presence, confidence, and genuine connections so that you can build nourishing personal relationships and draw clients and business to you instead of pushing to be seen and heard. And that is so cool. That's exactly what the listeners want to be able to achieve, is that drawing people towards them, to want to get to know them, to know what they do and how they do it, rather than pushing out, as we see a lot. That's now, Louise, you are a mother and wife of two children, your first of whom was born injured. And because of that, that led you to walk a path of empowerment and to help your son function in a world that imposes too many stigmas on disability. I know you are committed to helping both your sons live life to their highest potential while they utilize every opportunity to grow up in a loving household. So that's Louise in a very short nutshell, but we're going to learn a lot more about. Welcome, Louise.
Thank you, Janine. It's lovely to be here.
I know. I'm really – Louise and I have known each other for a couple of years now, haven't we? And it's been really interesting watching the people that you've worked with and trained and just how they've changed and how they've become, you know, really owning them, their own self. So I'm looking forward to hearing how you do that. Mm-hmm. Now, doing what you do, everyone – what I usually start with is asking – people there, why did you, why has this been your focus in life?
Well, it's partly because of my life experiences, of course, but as really the things that I help my clients with, of course, are the things that I've had to learn myself. So, you know, the bits around self-worth, not having a lot of presence or confidence, and having a bit of difficulty with personal relationships as I got older. It was really mostly after I had children. So my oldest son has a disability, and sometimes life throws you a curveball, which really did throw me off where I thought I was going to go. But my son, both my sons are amazing young men now. And without Dylan coming into my life, I probably wouldn't be doing this work, because what it did was push me and pushed all my buttons and brought up all the stuff that I had kind of, you know, just pushed away or stomped down inside myself. And it just, all of the things that I hadn't actually faced or dealt with really came up over those years when we were really struggling with lack of sleep and lots of things going on, grief over what had happened and just trying to deal with the big changes in our life. Mm-hmm. And I did get to a point really, Janine, where I was so stressed and depleted. I was overwhelmed because I did have a lot to do, and I was lonely because I was so busy trying to help my son and trying to maintain a relationship with my husband and to help my younger son as well. And I was so grief-stricken probably and so disconnected that I just couldn't really make, you know, deep nourishing friendships.
Okay, yeah. And so, that would have been something powerful that would have been really helpful at the time too, wouldn't it?
Exactly. It's the very thing you need, and it's the very thing that a person with a disability needs. They need really good supportive community around them. Now, I have really good friends, and I had a lot of support really. But there's kind of, there was a part of me that just shut down and cut off. So it was actually hard to maintain those relationships. And when I was so shut down, I just got more and more exhausted, really, and got to a point where I just realized life wasn't much fun anymore. I didn't feel good about myself. Our relationship, you know, my husband and I really stuck at it because we, underneath, we loved each other, but there was so much going on that we could hardly nourish our relationship at all. So I wasn't feeling attractive or, you know, interesting in any feminine or sexual way, and I wasn't enjoying life, and I really didn't feel like I was supporting my children or in any way showing them how to live, you know, a really fulfilling life.
Now, just listening to that, I mean, that happens a lot with mothers with new babies, let alone a mother with a new baby who needs that extra assistance as well. It's,
yeah.
And as you said, the grief part is there. So not, because normally it's a joy, isn't it? So
exactly.
You've got a mixture of joy probably and grief at the same time. It's, it would, you use the word depleted, and I haven't had anyone use that word in anything that I've done in a long time, and it's such a strong word. It really is descriptive as to how I, and I'm going to share that word because a lot of the people I work with, that's just how they come to me, is feeling depleted, and I imagine that's how your clients feel as well.
Yes, and you know, there's lots of reasons why that can happen in someone's life, but you can get to that point where, you know, you get there and then you realize that you are, and you're so depleted, then it's really hard to know what to do with it because you've got no energy, you know. It's kind of like a catch-22. And I had a point like that. I call it my epiphany at the sink, Janine, where I got up one day and I stood at the kitchen sink and I thought, I don't want to live like this. I can't live like this anymore, and I don't want to. You know, I want to be there for my kids. I want to make life enjoyable, and I really want to live it. And I want work that's meaningful. You know, I want that intimate relationship again. And I want to be able to advocate for my son. And I actually was so depleted, I wasn't even able to do that very well. So that, you know, that was one moment, and it is a transformative moment, that moment at the sink, where I knew that I wanted to make a change, and I knew that I could make a change, but I couldn't manage much because I was so tired. So I actually just started by, I thought, I was standing at the sink thinking, well, I can drink water and I know that'll make me feel a bit better. So I just started drinking just a little bit more water each day just to start the clean out, you know.
Wow.
And then, now, yeah, just
sorry, I'm just going to interrupt you there because a lot of people in that sort of situation will be thinking, I don't want this. But you didn't say that then. I don't know now. I don't know whether you said it then, but what you said was, I want. Instead of thinking about all the things in your life that you didn't want, you thought about the things that you wanted. And that is a really powerful lesson for people, Louise, is to focus on where they want their life to be, not what they don't want in their life.
Yep. And, you know, Janine, I actually really see that as a real gift because I had been very focused on what I didn't want, but that's what had got me to where I was, where I had no energy and where I was unable to do anything. But that moment where I started thinking, actually, I want this, this and this, was a gift. And so that can be really hard for people at times to do that because you can say it and not feel it, whereas for me I really felt it. So that was a transformative moment. But transformative moments don't do anything unless you actually then follow through with step-by-step things. Yeah, and that's the hard part.
So the drinking of water was
my step. That was my one step, and it was something I knew I could do. And and it's a change of energy, you know, because I've decided that I'm going to do something to make a difference. So it doesn't matter if it's only something small, do one thing to make a difference in your life. And that can help shift what you're putting out there instead of that'll start you focusing on how you want to be and what you want rather than And that's how you are and how bad things are.
Yes, and that's a big lesson that you don't have to, and this is a mistake a lot of people do, and that's why they often don't take actions, because they see a whole lot of things that they, inverted commas, need to do, but they can't take the steps to start and realize, you know, that every journey starts with that first step, doesn't it? And for you, it was
drinking
water. Yep. How's that, that's simplistic in its lesson.
Very simple. I know. And it sounds so ridiculous, but it really was the turning point. And that's, I think that's part of the thing, is when you think, right, I need to, you know, go and do this really expensive course, or I need therapists and all of those things. And you will. It's somewhere along the point, the line, you are going to need those things probably when you're as depleted as I was. But you don't have to do it all at once. And once you start thinking about it, well, I need all this and I can't do it, then you'll go straight back into that old space. So that's why you just look at the first step, knock off that first step and don't worry about the rest of the road.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't try and sort of see what's around the bend. It's just, that's very powerful. So what else did you, you know, do then after that first drink of water?
Well, I did for a while. That was about as all I could manage, just the water. And I did start doing some yoga, just some things at home that I knew would help, because I used to meditate a lot. So I would, not that I could sit for very long and meditate, because I was busy and I just couldn't sit still. But I'd give it a little nod, you know, a bit of breathing practice or something. So those things I could do at home and start to make a difference. But I actually then found the work that I teach now. So someone actually put me onto a video online of Rachel Jane Gruber, who's the creator of Art of Feminine Presence. So that's the work that I'm trained to teach now. So I just got, I got onto this, you know, a YouTube video, and I did this foundational practice that she was teaching, and I could feel the difference straight away, and that's then I realized that that's what I wanted to do. That's what I needed to do to get me back on track, because it was practical. It was about being in your life right now and living in the middle of whatever's going on. So it's not about necessarily about changing the external circumstances in your life. It's about changing what's going on inside you, or actually sitting with it, being okay to be with it.
I was listening to it. I was driving up from the Gold Coast today listening to a podcast, and the person I was listening to gave the phrase that we can be busy, but we can be at ease.
Yes, yes.
And that really resonated with me, because my life's ridiculously busy. Mm. But most of the time I'm fairly much at ease with what I'm doing. It's not, I don't go over and over all the things I've got to achieve in the day. I just get them done. Mm. Or if I don't get them done, it doesn't matter. And is that the sort of thing you're talking about, that you can be busy, but you can still be at ease? And obviously a lot more to that then.
Yep. So one of those practices, the foundational practice, you do an awareness practice where you actually really recognize what it feels like when you're fully in your body, present in this moment, how that feels. Because what happens is that you feel calm and you feel at ease and feel all sorts of things that are really, you know, good to feel. It feels great. And there might still be all this stuff going on around you, but it's okay. And then you do the other part of the practice, is to bring yourself back up into that busyness, the busy head, that kind of, you know, not your intellect, because our intellect is really important, but that kind of mental static, the stuff that's always going on, the confusion, the shoulds, the guilt, or the stepping, you know, 2 days ahead of yourself worrying about what you're going to do in next week, or thinking about that argument you had this morning with your husband, whatever it is.
Yeah.
They're all pulling you out of the present moment, and they're all up in that kind of busyness. So when you get up into that space, then you sound like that.
Yes.
When people are talking to you, they can hear that, and it's stressful for other people and it's not attractive, you know. So I don't mean necessarily in a way that, you know, where you're attracting a hunky bloke. It can work like that, but I mean that actually people won't really want to spend a lot of time with you when you're in that really noisy, busy, uncomfortable kind of place, because it's hard for other people to be around it.
Yes. And I know that, and I see that in people. Mm. And when I see it in people, I see it sometimes as sadness and depression.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, it can be. Yeah. So that's what I noticed when I first started doing – when I did that for the first time, that's what I could feel. I dropped fully into my body. I could feel this calm and ease, and I could actually feel the energy all the way around me, this kind of burring all the way around me and this noisiness and shakiness. And I realized that that's what I'd been living in for years, and that's why I was exhausted. That's why I couldn't connect with people. That's why I couldn't – you know, stay calm when things went wrong with the kids, all of those things, because I had no grounding in myself. I was just out in this busyness.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And look, I can feel it when I do get like that, and it just is usually, you know, at the end of a ridiculously busy day. I the thing is, I can identify it.
Yes.
I know it's there rather than being in it. And I get in it, of course, but I do go, you're being really intense, just back off, you know, and that's my conversation in my head. And I'm not being intense necessarily outward to anybody, but internally I've got this intensity going on, and I just stop it.
And so that's great. That's a great skill to have, Janine, if you can do that. Some people can't recognize the difference
quickly, but
Well, and sometimes some people don't really recognize that there are different parts of them. They don't recognize that they're separate from that at all. That's just who they are. So that voice is going on for them all the time. That's their internal dialogue, and that's, you know, devastating.
That would be so tiring,
exhausting, and really distressing, you know, because they feel bad about themselves.
Yes. That's the other point, because they're not achieving like other people achieve. They're not living up to a standard. They're not feeling happy and joy where everyone in the world tells them that they should be feeling a particular way.
Yeah, which is all, you know, fluffy surface stuff in a way. Like, it's not – that's a voice inside your head telling you that you're not living up to what the voice inside your head tells you need to live up to. And often the stuff that we're seeing people telling us we need to be, you know, joyful and you have love at first sight and everything's wonderful and lovely, that's all – it's myth. Well, it's not even as powerful as myth. It's just, you know, stories that aren't real.
But it's an expectation from our fairy tales, even from childhood, isn't it? And the stories that we're told – so that becomes our story as well.
It can, yeah. And that's part of what this work is about. We all have a story, and our story is really important. But if we over-identify with our story, we get lost in the emotion of it and we stay in that. It kind of ungrounds us. So a lot of this work is about actually just dropping below the busyness of that a bit and just listening to what the real deeper feelings are. And then following through on that, you know, following your desire around those things, which is very different to just being tossed and turned and pushed around by the story.
Yes, yes.
Because sometimes deeper underneath, you know we inside ourselves what we really need, but it's often so deep that we don't hear it because there's so much busy, staticky stuff going on.
And that storytelling, you know, obviously relates to what I coach on as well, is that, oh, I'm not good at sales. I couldn't possibly do that. People will you know, think I'm pushy. I'm going to feel really bad about it. It's right across everything in your life, isn't it, when you're hearing that story?
Yeah.
Because it may have happened, something may have happened in the past, or someone may have said something to you. So you then own that. Oh, I've got that now. I'll just tuck that away in the back of my mind and I will believe that because someone said it.
Yeah, and often it's pretty low key. Like, often you can be living that out and not really realizing that that's a storyline for you until you do some work around it and actually identify it. So that's even more insidious when it's kind of running your life without you realizing.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just sort of thinking about just exactly that, and I'm sitting here feeling the, as we're talking, my I'm feeling my head being compressed a bit thinking about the people I know that do that. It's manifesting as a physical to me, just even having imagining how it's feeling. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you can't just change. Go, oh, one day I'm thinking like this and the next day I'm not.
No, that's the thing. That's like I said before about transformation. You know, it's a transformative moment, but if you don't act on it, if you don't practice it, it's not actually going to transform your life. I think really, mostly, those stories of transformation, sometimes people forget to tell you about the actual hard work they have to put in to maintain it or to make it really settle into their bodies. So that's the thing. It's actually, that was a moment when I recognized that I was separate from all that static and that busy, busy, busy stuff going on around me. But then I had to do a lot of practice, and I still have to practice that, dropping into my body and staying there. I have to practice that every moment of every day.
And the more you practice anything, the more of the links in the brain make that as the way of normal everyday thinking.
Yeah.
And so that's why practice is so important, because the neurons recognize that as the way we are as opposed to the other way.
Yeah. And that's why I love the work that I teach, because they're embodiment practices. So that's part of how you retrain the brain. You actually get in and do a practice in your body. And so you have an awareness around it in your body. Mm. And that actually changes that pattern. That helps to kind of click it over into actually being a full bodied experience that you remember and you can repeat.
Yes. Okay.
So, when I teach, it's not about taking notes and sitting in front of an overhead projector. It's just not my thing, because I've never been able to do that myself. I like to get up and do stuff.
Yeah. And well, the art of feminine presence, and what I said in the introduction, because you work with men as well, and that I didn't know that. So that was, an interesting point.
Yeah. We just use different words, really. Okay. So what you're doing, basically the basis of art of feminine presence is that you're teaching women to connect into their core energy. So they're connecting into the Dantian or the Hara. It's got lots of different names, but it's actually kind of like a power center that helps you ground in your body. So men can do that too. So if you've ever done any Qigong or Tai Chi or yoga, any of those things where those two things overlap, the physical and the energetic, that's really what you're doing. You're connecting into that core space. So a man can do that too. It's just, you just use different words around it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I can't imagine many men would be thinking that they'd want the art of feminine presence, would they?
No. But there's, there's lots of practices. I've taught my husband that basic practice, and I've taught my sons in a way. I just change it a little bit to make it, kind of a bit funny. So the boys will do it instead of laughing at their mother.
Oh, that's what sons do. I have two sons as well.
That's right.
The main problems that you see across the women that you work with, or any women in business in general, what would they be?
Well, the one about being stressed, busy, overwhelmed, depleted, all of those things. So, we're doing so many things now, like we run businesses, we've got kids, families, we've got all of the social stuff, everything that we try and kind of build into our lives, it's very in your face now. We're busy, busy, busy. And there's a thing about a lot of women, and we feel like we've got to do it all. We've still got to be, this really good mother, and we've got to run, the business. We've got to make that fantastic. We've got to help out the school fate, everything.
Mm.
So we're kind of always leaning into the next minute, trying to fix things or organize them or control them or overthink them. So I think that's a really big one. And so because we're so busy, where some women are often, they're out of their bodies. They're one step ahead of themselves all the time, and you can't sustain it. When you're not in your body, when you're not in that place of calm, that grounded place where you're in a space of non-resistance, it's your natural place to live, if you're not in there, then you're disconnected from your energy source. You're disconnected from that calm. So you feel more stressed. You feel more tired. You get overwhelmed because all you can think about is what's not working and what's not happening properly. And so you focus on the what you don't want instead of what you want, I guess.
Yeah, and being disconnected would also bring in dis-ease in the body, wouldn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, yeah, yes. Yeah, it can.
So creating that mindfulness and that, so that women can drop into, you know, that the body or drop back into the body, how do they do that?
Well, it's actually that foundational practice that I'm talking about. That's the main one. And that really is just a bit of a process where you learn to flow your awareness into your body and then stay there. You don't quite, I can explain it over the phone, but it takes a little while to do it with someone. I do it with people on the phone.
Okay. Yeah, we won't do it now.
A big part of it, yeah. It takes too long, but a big part of it is actually doing it with someone else so they're reflecting what they see. And so you have a bit of an awareness practice around what it's like when you're in your body, what you sound like, what you look like, how they feel about you, and then what it's like when you're not in your body. But that's all it is. So it's like the mountain pose in yoga in a way. You get yourself into that standing, peaceful pose and you have your consciousness deep inside your own body.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite postures in yoga. It looks easy.
Yes.
But it's not easy.
It's excruciating if you have to hang in it for too long.
but it is that centering and just pulling yourself back in and
and so you're really, really present in every cell in your body. So that's kind of about the only way I can really explain it. But it is a physical practice. So
with that practice, does all your stress go away? All that feeling of overwhelm?
No.
Okay.
Those things still go on in your life. You still have the stressors and you still have the stuff happening. You still have the busyness if that's how your life is. But how you manage it is better. You feel differently about it and you'll even think about it differently if you stay in this space inside your body. So you won't respond in that deeply stressed way and you won't get as overwhelmed by things. You'll be more able to just say, okay, I'm just going to do this one thing and get it done, and then I'm going to do the next thing and get it done. Instead of thinking about, you know, how much I've got to do and just letting overwhelm take over. So it's the difference between being in your busy head and being in your body. If you're in your busy head, you'll get overwhelmed, you'll be stressed. And all the stressors and all the busyness is still going on. If you're in your body, same thing. All the stressors, all the busyness still going on, but you're different. And so you manage it in a different way. You respond in a different way.
That's one of the, and that's definitely one of the concepts that within the business approach that, you know, from where I come from with professional presenting or with sales and being in a conversation with a client, again, is to stay very present. I haven't had it quite described as just stay in your body and get out of your head, but that suits it perfectly. But the amount of people I've worked with that have got, I've got to think this, I've got to say this, I've got to do, and all of that's going through their head, and they're not able to, then that's when fear sets in, especially if they're presenting, you know, on stage or else they lose their words or they, you know, worry they're going to say the wrong thing because they're.
Yeah, so they're right out in their heads. And that's why, because it's such a simple thing if you see it like that, if you see it that you're out in that busy head or you're in your body, if you're fully present in your body, it's a really visceral thing. It's actually, you're really right there on the stage then.
Yes, yeah.
Look, and you're not in that worry, you know, about whether things are going to go wrong or whether you're going to say the right thing. And in the end, you can speak more naturally and it doesn't matter if you forget your written speech. You know, you'll actually probably say something that's much more authentic and much more real and people will get it more. And sometimes they won't remember what you've said, but they'll remember you. Because of your presence and because you're really, you know, deeply connected to yourself.
Yes. And look, I do have, you know, people say to me all the time, I don't know how you do as much as you do and not feel exhausted. And I've realized a long time ago very much what you're saying is that just go do it. So I don't think about doing – I used to have somebody that worked for me that would do everything three times. She would think about what needed to be done. She would tell other people what she needed to do, and then she would go and do it while she was talking about it again, actually four times. That's how exhausting is that?
It is exhausting.
She didn't get it. And that's what I – you know, that's what diaries are for. You just have a list of things to do.
And I like little post-it notes.
Okay.
My hairdresser has been one of my best business coaches ever. Mm-hmm. and she just says, you write one thing on a post-it note, you stick it all over your diary, you don't go to bed until you've got rid of all your post-it notes. She's awesome. Oh, okay.
That's a great idea. I have explained before on this podcast, I have a filing cabinet in my head, so it does make it a little bit easier. I close off the file and I just open another file. But not everybody has that. I do get that. I want some information, I go back to the other file, which is closed, but it's not thinking of it.
In your head. Nice.
Yeah, it is, but I just shut them. They're just like, it's like on a computer. You just close that file off until you need it.
I like that. Actually, my, you know, the teacher of the work, I've just been at an intensive about Art of Feminine Presence. She was actually talking about that, you know, talking about your potential, you know, what you're really wanting to happen, where you want to be. And if you feel like you can't hold the energy around that, then you just file it away. And bring it, you know, and it might actually just come into fruition without you thinking about it too much. But also then you just, you know, bring it back when you know that you can hold the energy around it. But I like that idea of just filing it away.
Yeah. And when things pop into my head, if they pop in my head, I know that, okay, there's a reason I need to think of this at the moment, and then I act on it. And then it's done. But I do know that filing cabinet doesn't exist for everyone. I've been trying to explain how to do it, but it's just me.
Yeah, that's very cool.
So are other issues that women have in business?
Yeah, so another big one, really big one, is that women in business often think that, especially if they're working in like a big company that's male-dominated, that they have to be more masculine to be taken seriously or to get things done or for people to really take notice of them or hear them. And so they'll shut down on their natural feminine, their sexual energy. But when you do that, when a woman does that, you lose your energy and you become less visible and less heard and less effective because you're just not connected to who you are. And sometimes even though women think they've become more masculine, and they might have, it kind of works in the opposite way, really. It doesn't really get them what they want. But sometimes they're just becoming more neutral. They're not becoming more masculine. They just kind of have a neutral energy. Yeah. And it's kind of – it's a joyless way to live. And sex isn't as much fun.
No.
Because you're shutting down on your sexual energy, so you lose the urges.
Yes.
And you know what? That happens with a lot of women. A lot of women around my age, around, you know, the 40s and 50s, start to lose interest. And that's probably partly why, because they're so busy. They're so busy. They're either so busy being, you know, trying to be more masculine or trying to get things done, and they think they have to do that in a masculine way, or just they're so busy and they're not in their bodies at all. But, yeah.
So what causes a woman to lose their energy, you know, and as you said, to be seen less and probably, you know, get less done if they shut down their feminine energy?
Well, it's like you've unplugged yourself from your power source, really. It's like you've just pulled the plug out of the PowerPoint because when you're connected into your body, you're connected to that kind of endless supply of energy. When you shut off from the bottom half of your body, you're not getting energy from that part of your life, I guess. And there's lots of reasons why women shut down in the first place from their feminine energy. There's lots of reasons. And some of those reasons are because You know, there's sometimes it's cultural, sometimes it can be religious because, you know, women might be seen as less important in some cultures or, and I mean Australian culture from, you know, the 50s and 60s, women were meant to be in the house, you know, not kind of taken as seriously in a bigger arena. So there's reasons why we might shut down. Some of it's because of sexual abuse. There's reasons like that, or because in some religions the feminine is demonized a little bit. So we can shut down for all sorts of reasons, but until we open up to every part of ourselves, there's always we use a lot of energy keeping something closed off.
That makes a lot of sense.
Someone's pushing on the other side, and if you want to keep that open, you have to put it closed. You have to put a whole lot of energy into it to hold it closed. So that's kind of what we're doing with our bodies.
Yeah, and that is where that, you know, sex becoming less enticing sort of fits in, doesn't it? You know, if you've got that pressure against you of not allowing that feminine presence, then...
Yeah, well, you're actually, you've stopped that flow of sexual energy through your body, so you can't see it in your body, you can't feel it in your body, so you're not going to feel... You're not going to feel like sex is fun if there's no kind of sexual energy flowing in your body.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So being feminine, I know we talked about that whole energy and centering, but is it about dressing differently as well? And
not really. Sometimes what happens is, you know, when you really connect to your core, you might start to dress in a way that makes you feel more feminine, but that does not mean you have to wear dresses or lots of makeup or high heels or anything like that. And that's part of what the problem has been for us, I think, that the word feminine has been associated completely wrongly with being, you know, soft and gentle and pretty and not effective. And I think that's why a lot of women have actually cut off from it, because we've kind of been brought up to believe that a bit ourselves, I guess, some of us.
I've worked a bit in construction and mining and have had a lot of contacts with women working in those industries, and I've seen that all the time where they feel they have to, you know, demonstrate that masculine energy, be as tough as the guys, but they really miss out on opportunities that they can still be a manager or a leader with great ideas and still gain respect, but not have to step out of themselves to do
It's exhausting doing that because you're putting on a facade all the time. You're pretending to be someone that you're not. And I think that's a big thing that I really recognize, that once you actually start to kind of connect to the core of who you are and just keep living in that space, people do notice you more, men notice you more, and, you know, there is that thing for, you know, women who are looking for a healthy masculine partner. They will meet one. They meet someone like that if they're in this space. But it's also just about being seen more on any level. So in business, if you're at meetings and you're not being noticed, if you drop back into your body, drop back into that practice, people will notice you. It's like magic.
Yeah, that's an amazing point. And part of that too is, I, you know, flowing on from that, where women don't feel good enough about themselves as well.
Yep.
You know, I see that all the time in business.
Oh, it runs really deep in women, and that's a lot of what my work is about, particularly in the group work, where women don't feel good enough because they've been told that they're not. Often as children, we're, you know, told not to speak too loud or all sorts of reasons about why we shouldn't stand up and look, be amazing, especially for Australians, because we're kind of told not to show off, you know, not to be too loud. So as little kids, you learn perhaps that it's not okay to stand up and be funny or loud or be brilliant. You know, it's too much. Australians don't really like that or haven't in the past. And women, I find this much more with women than with men, that women are much less confident about what they do in their businesses than men are. Men are afraid to stand up and do their one-minute talk.
Because I presented a lot of networking events that are men and women, Yeah, it's interesting.
But women are less confident about what they do, even though they will be spectacularly brilliant at what they do. They're less confident about really telling people that they're good at it, whereas men are okay with that. It's just that 1 minute thing seems to put a lot of pressure on men. Had a networking meeting.
Yes.
But yeah, it's really interesting, and that's something that I love about doing the work I do, especially in the group work, where women start to be seen for who they are. And that's one of the things that we have to teach each other, how to appreciate another woman, because women have had some very bad experiences along the way, often as teenagers, as teenage girls. Girls are so mean to other girls about how they look and what's wrong with them. And we bring that with us. There's a lot
and
of pain
media
around that.
Exacerbated that.
Exactly. Now. It's made it much, much worse. Yeah. Yep. Mm.
And yeah, I just, it's a really interesting point, you know, and that's that whole being able to shine. And something that I thought of as I was driving along the M1 today was to put up on the We Are Women Facebook page is for us, for all the women to describe themselves in two words. And I thought that'll be really interesting to see.
Are you going to challenge them to say affirming words?
Yes, but who they are. Just who they are.
Like qualities, do you mean?
Yeah. Mm. So if somebody, well, what I was thinking for me, what I believe for me, if somebody met me, they would say, oh, she's naturally confident.
Yeah, yep.
And that describes what people buy from me. They buy confidence when they're looking to be able to do what they do. But that, yeah, that's a challenge. Anyway, that's a bit tad off topic, but we'll
I like that. I like that idea. I'll keep an eye out for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, we've got to rush up now, which is really it's such a great conversation. Three takeaway points in particular, Louise, that you really, I mean, there's been incredible amount of takeaway points and information and just really thought-provoking stuff that's going to enable women just to maybe challenge the way they're thinking about themselves. But if you had three points that you just wanted to make sure that you share, what would they be?
That you're amazing and brilliant and powerful just the way you are. You have the capacity to bring that forward in your life right now. So it doesn't have to be painful or fearful or hard. You've just got to stay in your body because it's the most powerful and the safest place to be. And you just have to practice that. Practice
and that's,
staying
and
home in your
affirmations
body.
And, yeah, and writing affirmations, yep. Something as that's strong words, isn't it? Saying writing an affirmation saying, I am amazing, brilliant, and powerful, using your words.
Yeah.
That is incredibly powerful every day. And even adding to that, you know, I am amazing, brilliant, and powerful, and I bring value to the world. That's such a strong affirmation to have every day. So, yes, that belief.
And if you can do that in your body, I think that's the big thing. So, you know, if you stand in front of a mirror and you say that to yourself, I'm amazing, brilliant, and powerful, you try it, Janine. You're pretty good at being in your body, but you try it and see if you get that little voice that comes in and goes, oh, yeah, you're getting a bit big for your boots, or yeah, sure.
So no, that's my husband. No, sorry. I'm just
So that's the thing with affirmations. They are very important, but if you don't ground them in your body, that's all they'll be, just these words that you don't believe.
That is absolutely brilliant. And that's, you know, where you started about what you talk about, the work, but that feels different, totally different, doesn't it?
Yep. So it's got to be grounded in your body for it to really become actual, for it to actually happen.
Takeaway point number two.
When you feel like this is a fun one. When you feel like you're a bit neutral or a bit masculine in your energy, so say you're going into a boardroom meeting and there's a whole lot of blokes sitting there and you feel like you get that feeling like, right, I've got to shift into the masculine so that I don't get pushed around. Just bend one knee a little bit and your hip will bend a little as well. And what happens is it activates your feminine energy center. It'll bring your awareness to your hips a little bit and just activate the feminine energy and see what happens.
Wow.
So you don't stick out your hips so everyone sees you doing it. No. You stick your hands on your hips. You just do it very subtly.
Yeah.
But also keep, it's good to keep heart energy, focus on heart energy as well.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And number three.
It's not about being perfect, being alive. It's just about being fully human.
Mm.
No one wants a perfect person anyway. They're very hard to be around. But, you know, to do that, you've got to look at the shadows, the things that you've kind of hidden away, and you have to bring them into the light. So there are lots of things that we hide away, and they might be good qualities, you know, like that thing about being bright and bubbly when you're little and getting into trouble for being too noisy. So you hide it away and you stop being bright and bubbly. Mm. And if you don't bring that out from the shadows, then it's going to come out like a naughty child that stood in the corner for too long. It's going to come out of the corner and it's going to be naughty. It's going to come out in an unhealthy way.
Okay. Yeah.
So to really live your life fully, it's important just to bring those things to the light.
Okay.
And then you start to express yourself as more fully human and people start to see you more and love you more anyway.
Mm.
It's just a richer kind of deeper experience of being alive.
And because you're being authentic and real to yourself, so then that's what you're projecting as well.
That's right. That's right. Mm. It's also, you know, some of it's about the things we hide away are the things that we're not allowed to be, especially women, like angry or pushy or controlling or all of those things. So we don't have to bring
yet, have they?
Yeah. That's right. We don't have to bring you've brought them out of the shadow. Good work.
Oh, I had an angry moment the other night.
Well, that might be a naughty child that's come out in an unhealthy way though.
No, it was well needed. But then walk away and go, okay, I'm done now. That's fine.
Cool. Yeah, so that's right. You're using your powers for good instead of evil. It's good. And that's my point, you know, that you use it in a healthy way.
Mm.
So if you pretend that you're never angry and you push that away in the shadows and I'm always calm and peaceful and nice, it will come out big and angry like a tidal wave at some point and hurt someone around you. You know, you'll yell at someone and really hurt them.
Yes.
If you admit that you are angry sometimes, that you feel angry, and you actually let that come out in a healthy way, then that's not going to happen. You know, you're not going to have the tidal wave effect.
Yeah.
So get into those shadows and bring them out. There are practices around that, of course, and there's lots of books about shadow work, and it's really powerful, freeing work because you start to realize that actually it's great being human and it's great having all of those, you know, things that aren't so fantastic because they're part of what helped me to understand other people. They're part of what helped me to connect to other people.
Mm.
It's great being human.
And it is, and it's part of who we are as being human. So how do people get to work with you, Louise?
Well, you can email me or phone me, and I'd really like to offer everyone who's listening a free half-hour call and activate your feminine phone call, and we can activate the masculine if there's any blokes listening.
Okay.
But the half-hour call really is to get more a bit of an understanding of what the work's like, and then, you know, we can have a bit of a talk about if you want to do some more work with me through workshops or classes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just a free half-hour to get a sense of the work,
and
you'll come away with the practice that you can use.
Oh, excellent. And how do they get in touch with you? What's your email address?
So my email's louise@louisegeary.com. So that's Louise at louisegeary, Geary, .com.
Okay. And you're sharing your mobile number as well?
Yep. So 0423-968-112.
Okay. So that's louise@louisegeary.com.
Yep.
And the mobile number 0423-968-112. Look, really enjoyed our conversation. Doesn't that time go quickly?
It does. I did think an hour is going to be a long time, Janine, but it's just whipped by.
I know. It's quite amazing. And plus, you've got such brilliant information and brilliant ideas. And I haven't done your workshop yet. I keep the dates just never work out, but I'm
we'll get there.
Yeah, after even having the conversation now, I'm
just a little date claimer for November. I'm having a retreat. I'm running a retreat at the end of the year. So
as long as it's not the same weekend that I'm running the courses, that will work.
We'll have to talk.
We'll have to talk some more. Thank you, Louise. I just so enjoyed it, and I'm sure the listeners have really enjoyed hearing your information and your story and just how you are inspiring other women through the art of feminine presence. Thank you, Louise.
Thank you, Janine. It's been great talking to you.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.